How do you get your house ready to let? How do you market your property? What's K plus S plus RP all about? And if self-cert mortgages are on their arse, where are today's golden opportunities in the world of HMO investment? This and much more right here at HMO Radio. I got a gun and it's on fire. I'm gonna shoot some pretty things. Welcome to HMO Radio, your beautiful audio guide to houses of multiple occupation. As ever, right here we've got Matt Moody, editor of YourHMOExpert.com and a professional HMO investor himself. He's here today to talk about the issues that affect you, the property landlord and investor. You might remember in episode one we discussed the basics of HMOs. You can listen to that, this and all future episodes of HMO Radio at iTunes or by subscribing to the feed shown in the show notes at YourHMOExpert.com. On the show today, we've got a right potpourri, haven't we, Matt?
We have. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm all right, Matt. As always, it's great to talk to you. And you'll know that you really kind of set me alive. And with it being a Monday, it's obviously a great way to start the week.
Now, definitely.
Good man. In episode one, we promised to tell the good people the important and often forgotten rudimentaries of readying your property for its first HMO tenant. It's all about preparation. Isn't that right?
That's right, yes. I mean, there's a few different things that people really need to be aware of, I think, once you start getting into that whole sphere of setting up your HMO property. It's not really a case of just getting a property, you know, actually deciding to buy it and then thinking about how you're going to furnish it from that stage. You really need to have a plan in place as to what you're going to do and when you're going to do it. So that's the most important thing, I think, is to start off with a plan in mind.
And so what would you say your plan actually consists of then, Matt? Now, there's a great many things to consider when you're getting things ready, and I presume it's a lot more than just the cosmetic differences.
Well, yes, I mean, some landlords who operate HMOs don't put furniture in the bedrooms, but I personally think that's the mistake, just from the point of view of if you haven't got furniture in the bedrooms, and it does mean the tenants have to find their own furniture, and it also means that they're going to be dragging that furniture up and down your stairs and potentially damaging the paintwork that's already in the property. So my preference is always to have good quality wooden furniture if you can afford it, and you should really try and afford the best you can in all of the bedrooms. And that would comprise of things such as obviously beds and mattresses, chests of drawers, a bedside table, wardrobes to put your clothes in. If you've got decent sized rooms, and I'd perhaps even go as far as putting desks in and also sofas.
Could you give us an idea then, Matt, you know, off the bat, what sort of money are we talking about spending on some decent quality furniture for the bedrooms?
Well, there are different places you can get it from, to be honest. I mean, you can go down the DIY approach, which isn't the way I recommend you go. And that's really going and sourcing it yourself from somewhere like IKEA or Argos or a DIY store.
Are we allowed to mention specific stores? I think there's something about endorsements. Carry on.
Is there? Okay. Well, I'm not saying go down that route. I'm saying that that's an option you can go and source some furniture. You'd expect to pay anything from, I'd say, 3,500 to 4,500 to set up a good 5 or 6 bedroom property. Obviously, if you've got a small HMO, you're going to pay less than that. But the thing you need to be aware of is, you know, you really need to be focused on doing what you're best at. And is your time best spent on setting up all of the furniture in the HMO, which, based on my experience, is going to consist of, certainly if you went down, say, the IKEA route, probably about 10 trolleys trawling through IKEA, standing in a long queue, and then getting it all into some kind of van, which would probably have to be
or
a sizable
B&Q
van.
It could be anywhere.
It could be anywhere, yes. I'm just going on my experiences, which, you know, is what I've done in the past. But the thing is, once you get it all back home, you've then got to get it all set up and ready. And believe you me, when you're trying to put furniture together that you've not put together before and you've got a deadline coming through, then it can become quite stressful because you're putting furniture together, you're spending day and night doing it, and you're probably going to be spending 40 to 50 hours putting furniture together that's not going to work for you.
It really is quite an effort, but then, you know, we'll look at this as an investment. Then you look at the investment for the property itself, and it really is a drop in the ocean. And if anybody's operating like you, Matt, which I'm sure they are, in the sphere of corporate lets where appearance is everything, then these are really small contributions towards what can be big rewards for you, the landlord investor, into the future.
Yeah, sure. I mean, perhaps I laboured the point a little bit on the DIY route, but I mean, I'd always recommend outsourcing it to a packaged firm. You know, you can use someone like furniture.com or anyone else out there that's offering good quality wooden furniture, and they're going to cost you between £4,000 to £5,000 to do everything for you, install it all, take all the furniture away. But it's not just furnishings you need to be aware of. Obviously, if you are taking over a property that needs things like new carpets, that's a possible expense. That's going to cost you anything from £1,500 to £3,500. You've also got to think about blinds and curtains and lighting, making the place look attractive, making it appealing to people. You've also got to think about appliances. Appliances in the kitchen. You do need a lot of appliances to run a HMO properly. Fridge, freezers, tumble dryers, washers, washing machines, dishwashers, etc. Now, that could cost you anything from, I don't know, £750 to £1,500. Or it's potentially possible to wipe out all of that cost and get it for next to nothing. But that's a more advanced strategy to talk about at a later stage. But I think in terms of getting your property set up, the key thing is you need to have some kind of wow factor in every house. So whether it's a very large mirror in the living room, or it's a beautiful kitchen, or it's something that makes the tenant stand back and think, wow, you know, this is really great, I'd love to live here. The key thing is having some kind of wow factor. And don't forget, it takes about 238 separate items to kit out a HMO house in full. So you're talking about a lot of individual items to get that HMO looking nice.
That sounds very scientific, Matt. You've even rounded it up exactly to 238 items. I mean, does that include things like art on the walls? Because, you know, I moved into a place fairly recently and it had some nice art on the walls. And what was good about it was that my other half liked some of them. I liked some of them. So between the two of us, we made this compromise and we said, OK, well, that's quite nice. That's like a fake Renoir. I like that. You like the Dali. Let's get together and be happy in this one happy home. So would you say that artwork is quite important? It kind of adds a bit of flashiness to the place.
I think it's important to have some kind of items which make it a little bit more homely. Otherwise, you end up having a very clinical environment. So I'd say, yeah, something like some kind of artwork's good, and try and make it something that people are going to like, you know, not something that's too offensive or too avant-garde, but just something that's, you know, just a nice piece of artwork, even if it's just some, you know, you can get lots of nice different kind of pieces now from some of the shops, which are, you know, £10 or £15, that are just very simple, maybe just a picture of a vase, but it's done in such a way that it's quite nice.
I liked your generic reference to the shop then, Matt. We're moving away from the endorsements. This is all good. Now, the other thing is, you and I have both inhabited the murky world of vacation ownership in the past, and we'll know that holiday ownership properties generally look for furnishings that are very hard wearing because they want to preserve the longevity of that piece. Now, I, in this place I'm living at the moment, I've got a very shiny faux leather sofa that looks nice, but is as hard as ours is to sit on. Now, can I ask you the question then, Matt? How do you kind of find that happy medium between finding the furniture that is very hard wearing and finding something that is comfortable to the tenant?
I think it's a case of testing it out for yourself. I mean, we've tested out all of the beds that we supply tenants to make sure that they do actually, you know, that they are actually comfortable, they're serviceable, and they work. And the fact that we've had furniture in our properties for, you know, some of them over 5 years now, and they're still with us, it's testament to the fact that we have tested them out. There's no point just buying stuff because it's cheap. You need to buy things that are going to last.
Exactly. And so, Matt, now I've got my 10 shopping trolleys from an undisclosed retailer, and they're chock-a-block full of 238 items to kit out my HMO property. I guess it's time to start marketing my fantastic HMO. I got a car and it's so sweet. I'm gonna cruise some mountain miles. I got a car and bring the heat. I'm gonna find some ladies. Do you want to tell us, Matt, what are your golden rules for marketing HMOs?
There's three golden rules, Dave. The first one is have a marketing plan, have a budget, and then implement it and review the results.
Can you go into detail, perhaps, into each of those three very different sections?
Sure. On the marketing plan, I think there are lots of different ways in which you can market HMOs, and we cover some of them on yourhmoexpert.com. Some of the more familiar ones are marketing online, in the newspapers, doing direct mail, doing posters and leaflets, getting referrals from people like letting agents or tenants. So there's lots of different things, lots of different routes to market. So you almost need to brainstorm a list of those. And then once you've done that, come up with a budget that you can afford to spend a certain amount per month on marketing your business, and then divide that up amongst the different routes to market you're going to use, and get them out there, and then test them and see how the response goes to your actual different methods that you're using. So if you're finding that newspapers is not really giving you a huge response, then stop doing it, because that can become quite expensive. If you're finding that the online methods are working for you, then see if there are other online websites you can use to increase your scope in that sphere.
Now, talking websites, the immediacy factor, the grabbing the tenant while they're out there raw and ready to jump into your houses. Have you got any recommendations of great websites that have worked for you? I mean, I know people talk about Gumtree and places like that. Have you got any of your own favourites?
Yeah, I'd say the two main ones that I always recommend are spareroom.co.uk and easyroommate.com. And again, you can find out more details about those on our websites. And we're actually going to be doing a review of both of those sites shortly, which will be like a video review so you can see how they work. But they're the best websites by far. If you've got Gumtree in your area, that is also really good as well. But in Northamptonshire, we don't have that.
All interesting stuff. And it all sounds like a formula for success. I got a car and it's so sweet. I'm going to cruise a mountain mile. Now, talking about formulas, and obviously particularly with Dan Brown being very much on vogue these days, Matt, I see you've also created your own mysterious equation. Do you want to give us a little bit of a glimpse into the world of what K plus S plus RP is all about?
Yeah, sure. This is something I've been thinking about for a little while now, and it's come out of some of the travels I've done up and down the country talking at various events. And the formula that refer to cash flow, you mentioned that you missed the key element off there, Dave, but I'll forgive you.
Thank you. Cash flow
is equal to K plus S plus RP. And what do we mean by that? Well, all three facets of that formula come together to create cash flow. Now, the K basically stands for acquiring the right knowledge. And the reason why knowledge is so important is when anybody becomes involved in a new venture or a business of any description, they need to acquire the right knowledge. And this can be found in lots of different places, and it can be a variety of different quality levels. And I always maintain it's you need to get the best possible knowledge from the best possible experts in order to improve your lot in life and move ahead. So if you want to become a HMO property business owner, then there are really only a couple of experts in the country. Well, there's only really two, and I'm one of them. And the other guy is a very nice guy based out of Birmingham, and you can go and research him online if you want to. But I think when you look at getting knowledge, you need to get the right knowledge from the right people in order to move ahead very, very quickly. So that's where the K comes from.
K for knowledge.
That's right. Now, the S is all about having a system. And whether you're a part-time property investor or even a full-time property investor, you have to have a system to stop you lurching from pillar to post. Because what will happen is if you haven't got a system, then one year you might have a really good year, the next year you might have a bad year, and it's all very inconsistent. The results are not going to be consistent for you, and that's because you haven't got a system. If you've got some systems in place, you can have a system to generate leads, you can have a system to make sales for you, you're going to generate much more consistent cash flow. You're going to have more security, surety, peace of mind. It's going to provide you with a degree of comfort that if you wanted to take a month off to learn how to, I don't know, scuba dive or go traveling, you could do that. And the beauty about having a system is you can actually outsource yourself, because at the heart of any system should be an operations manual, which really drives the business. And our ops manual is about 100 pages plus at the moment, and it grows daily because we're very much focused on developing systems further and improving them. So to get the best from any HMO property business, in my mind, you do need a system.
Could you give us a bit of a breakdown, Matt, in terms of your operations manual? What are the kind of key headings in there so that people who might be overawed by the idea of having a 100-page tome all about the way that they operate their business, we can break it down into simple chunks?
Yeah, you've got areas in there such as tenant management, you've got property management, you'll have contractors, administration, property managers. So all of those will come together to create specific sections. So on the tenant management, just to give you a little idea, you'll have things such as how do you generate a lead for a tenant? How do you do a viewing for a tenant? How do you sign a tenant up? How do you move a tenant in and out? How do you reference check a tenant, etc.? So although each of those, you know, each of those could be, you know, 5-10 pages on their own right, some of them may be only be a page, but it's really a case of having that system in place which enables you to do the same thing every time. Because if you're doing the same thing every time, then it means that you can outsource that to other people.
And you can constantly refine and review the way that you do business until you effectively create the perfect enterprise.
Precisely.
Right? And now I'm thinking now that obviously once you've got this together, it's effectively a process document, isn't it, Matt?
Essentially, yes.
And so once you've got this all together, what it is, it defines the way that you do your business. And I'm sure this is something that fundamentally would be used by people who wanted to franchise out the way they do business. So, you know, ultimately, if you wanted to buy a McDonald's franchise or whatever, I'm guessing that you'd have something like that as to how to operate your business successfully. So this really should be the bedrock of your business.
Correct. And this is where we've kind of based a lot of our theories around, is being able to operate a business which can be franchised or licensed or whatever it is in the future, because then that creates something that's saleable and it also creates something that's sustainable.
So cash flow equals knowledge plus system. So did you want to give us this mysterious RP to finish off this magical equation?
Yep, sure. The RP really stands for right property. And the reason why right property is so important is if you get it wrong, you can really impact your cash flow from day one. So for instance, imagine you buy a 5-bedroom property which you're going to convert into a HMO for $225,000. You think, fantastic, I can make some really good cash flow with this. But then you find out that actually two of the rooms are really single rooms. You can't get anything more than a single bed in, and the third one is a very small double. Because of, you've done that and you've maybe gone down the route and bought the property, you've impacted your cash flow by as much as £200 a month, which, you know, over a year is a good amount of money, £2,400. Now compare that to, say, an old 3-bed terrace that you've had for a few years, cost you £80,000 when you bought it, and it's got the potential to put a double room downstairs, and suddenly you've got a very nice little profitable HMO which could generate you as much as £500 a month plus from a cash flow perspective. So getting the right property in the right location is really important. And, you know, we could spend a whole hour, even longer, talking about what is the right property, what's the right location. But all I'd say at this stage is you need to do your due diligence when you're looking for properties and make sure that the property does stack up on its own merits, and that you can look at other properties in a slightly different way to perhaps get more rooms out of them.
Right property, right location sounds like the perfect title for episode next of HMO Radio. So we've got knowledge, we've got the system, we've got the right property. In effect, then, we've got all the essential components to generating cash flow, even in this day and age, Matt.
Yeah, you can still generate good cash flow in today's market. And in fact, what we've been doing with a lot of landlords in our local area, Northamptonshire, is working with landlords to essentially help convert properties that they already have in their portfolio into HMOs. And this is really helpful, especially when some of the areas that our investors are in are kind of saturated from the point of view of three-bed terraced. Certainly in Northampton, there's quite a few of them on the market, and can be sometimes difficult to distinguish between one three-bed terrace and another three-bed terrace. Now, if you've got the right three-bed terrace, it's very possible to get a good four-bedroom HMO out of that, which will generate you a very good cash flow on a monthly basis. So it's.
Can I just say for a second, though, I think you've just picked on something that's very, very important here, that many people, the more generic, if you like, landlord may not already have considered. What you can actually do is, if you've got a property that is just a standard single let, if you act smart and you obviously abide by the regulations, because they are different for HMOs, you can actually convert a standard single let into a HMO property. Obviously, it wouldn't be applicable to every single property, but you have the potential there, Matt. So what we're saying is, HMOs, they're not just for HMO landlords. HMOs have the potential to be there for the single let landlord if they're in times of where they want to expand or develop or look for new opportunities.
Yeah, that's right, and that's why it's really important to look at the current interest rates that we've got at the moment are, to my mind, almost a holiday in the sense that at some point they will go back up. They'll probably go to around 5 or 6%, which is where they've historically been. And the cash flow that people are generating now, sure, it's great, but people need to be thinking about, well, when those rates go back up again, is my cash flow still going to be the same, or am I actually going to be starting to subsidise some of the properties I've got? And if there are certain properties that, you know, they are making good cash flow now, but potentially in the future that cash flow is going to be significantly impacted, then now is the time to think about converting them into HMOs. And I'd say if you've got a three-bed terrace or greater, it can be converted into HMO. Potentially two-bed terraces can be, but it's often very difficult getting the rooms and the layout correct. So a three-bed terrace or greater make ideal HMOs.
That is very much erring on the side of space then. Three-bed or above, kids, just remember that. And why not consider it and check out your HMOexpert.com for a few more secrets on how to develop your property as a HMO. Talking about secrets, Matt, actually, as an aside, I know you've been very much hard at work on a report or an ebook, if you like, called 10 Cashflow Secrets. By definition, the title lends itself very well to the current climate where everybody is looking for an opportunity to, you know, gain an edge or develop some more bucks in their bank account. Do you want to give us a little bit of an idea as to, you know, the theory behind your 10 Cashflow Secrets report and really what considered you to actually develop it in the first place?
Yeah, basically the 10 Cashflow Secrets report is all about how to make money from everyday property investing. And it's essentially sharing some of the secrets that we've learned over the years about ways in which you can generate very good cash flow. And it's not all about HMOs. There are lots of different ways of generating cash flow, and some of them are systematic and some of them are focus and some of them are to do with numbers and location and all kinds of things. So the report that we've written, it's just in the process of being finished at the moment. It'll be out in the next week or so, and you'll be able to get it via your HMOexpert.com and probably another website.
Is it expensive, Matt? Will I have to pay thousands of pounds for this fantastic knowledge?
No, it's going to be entirely free, Dave.
Get out. Well,
no, I kid you not.
It's up the Swanee. I can't believe it. It's mad. It's like a bit like this great, you know, podcast that we put out, and obviously the kids can benefit from it for free, and there's more stuff that's free. This is the very definition of freemium. You know, 10 Cashflow Secrets you're not going to get probably anywhere else, and it's there for you to download for free. Well, Matt, you are my saviour and my God. Thank you. Now, it's funny, though, you know, we talk about these secrets, but at the same time, the stuff that's out there that is affecting us all that is very far from a secret. And I think, Matt, you know, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the demon in the back room that's called the self-certification mortgage, or should I say the demise of the self-certification mortgage. Now, I know the government's very keen at the moment to crack down on these things as everybody's tightening their belts and so on. And one of the proposals is banning self-certification mortgages through required verification of borrowers' income. To me, this sounds completely out of whack, but Matt, what does it mean to the HMO investor?
Well, it's one of those things which it's really a case of too little, too late, if I'm being honest. The FSA has got this proposal in at the moment, obviously, to regulate certain mortgage lending, of which buy-to-let is one that they're concerned about, unjustifiably, in my opinion, because the buy-to-let mortgage arrears are far smaller than the residential arrears. But I think, you know, what it will lead to is it will lead to more responsible lending, I guess, in terms of from the banks and from property investors. I think it's too early to really say how it's going to affect people. But clearly, there are lots and lots of people out there who, for whatever reason, will find it difficult to verify their income via, you know, pay slips or bank statements or whatever, because some income is sporadic. And, you know, it's not just investors that are going to be affected. It's going to affect a whole range of people. You know, I mean, I do a little bit of music, and whilst I don't do it professionally, there are lots of semi-professional and professional musicians out there who, you know, they can't show a regular payslip coming in, but they are earning, you know, they are earning their way. So it's going to affect a whole bunch of people. And I think, you know, it's one of those things which is being ill thought out, and it will probably come in some way in terms of